Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Highs of 83 today, 30% chance for showers. Tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day, an 80% chance for strong storms, which could be divine providence, perhaps, with COVID-19. And I was trying to think, I don't know that I can remember a St. Patrick's Day when it rained. I really can't. Highs of 82, because everybody's always out in the streets celebrating. And then a beautiful stretch of weather Thursday through Sunday with highs in the mid to upper 60s and plenty of sunshine. Bipartisanship, is it still alive? Is it on life support? How long has it been on life support? Let's talk to Joshua Dar, Associate Professor of Political Communication at LSU, and find out. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. Is it okay to call you Josh?
Sure, but I'm an assistant professor. Don't promote me just yet.
Oh, come on. It's just a matter of time. You know it's going to happen.
Well, thank you.
Let's talk about bipartisanship. I think one of the big differences here is campaigning and governing, right? Two different things?
Absolutely. You campaign in poetry and you govern in prose.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So that's why you can be an associate professor before you know it. Tell me what's going on here with Joe Biden. I guess everybody goes back to the meeting he had with Bill Cassidy and some other moderate Republicans before the stimulus bill. Was that for show, or talk us through the whole thing, if you would, sir?
Sure. So I think, 10 moderate Senate Republicans came in with a proposal that was somewhere between $600 and $700 million. Biden and
billion.
The Georgia Senate candidates, billion. That's right. The Georgia Senate candidates and Biden have been talking very clearly about something that was $1.9 trillion. And so, you know, there were some ideas exchanged, but ultimately there was not. They didn't want to meet in the middle, and that's a pretty big gap. And so it's true that, you know, when you have the votes, it's very tempting to get your way. And those ideas, I'm not sure how much they were considered. Now, maybe if they'd come in with something closer to Biden's number, they would have gotten some concessions. Maybe Biden was never going to listen to them. Right. We don't know. But ultimately, they did have the votes to pass the full thing.
When it comes to context and the history of bipartisanship, talk about it, if you will, throughout the years. I guess we can limit it to modern history, Josh, if we can, say the last maybe 100 or 50 years or something like that.
Sure. So, I mean, bipartisanship is a good goal in that it's nice to get buy-in from both sides. But there's not a lot of examples of major bipartisan legislation passing, honestly, over in modern history. If you think, you know, certainly not with more than half of both caucuses. And I really would have trouble to name a particular bill that enjoyed that sort of widespread bipartisan support, specifically about domestic issues like the economy or healthcare, which always, you know, tend to be pretty controversial. You get some kind of unanimity like that when we, you know, in the aftermath of 9/11 with the war resolutions and that sort of thing. But you also had this moment where the president of the United States had something like 90% approval, George W. Bush, after that. So sometimes in a very unique and sometimes tragic set of circumstances, you get people coming together on something. But in general, I think we may overestimate the bipartisanship of the past.
I think so, too, and that's why I wanted you to put it in the context. We're going to take a break and pick it up here when we come back. I think it's one of those things like the good old days where we remember it a lot better than it actually was, or think that it existed when it actually didn't. And I guess maybe the only recent example would be the first stimulus bill, maybe?
Yeah, I would say that's a clear recent example, and that was also during a crisis. It was during mm-hmm. a similar national tragedy that was ongoing, and you were able to get some bipartisanship, but again, that wasn't, you know, there were a lot of yeses and nos on both sides, more than enough to pass it.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about that, and is it necessarily bad that it is not bipartisan? If you have any questions or comments, text them, please, to our WWL Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. You can always go to WWL.com and answer our listener poll, which is asking you, should President, a recent poll shows 41% of Republicans say they would not get a COVID-19 vaccine if they were able to. Many have called for former President Donald Trump, who received the vaccine, to urge people to get vaccinated. And we're talking about like a really active thing here, like the former presidents did, George Bush and Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, even Jimmy Carter. Should he get involved in some kind of campaign like that and encourage people to get vaccinated? 54% now are saying yes. 46% are saying no. 7:21, time for traffic, WWL. 7:25 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Joshua Dar, assistant professor of political communication at LSU, about bipartisanship. And with the country and Congress as a whole looking more and more polarized, is bipartisanship dead? And we've already talked about historically how it never was really that much alive, was it, Jordan? Joshua?
There were times when people from both parties voted for, you know, similar bills. There was a lot more diversity within the parties ideologically. Right now, we've got almost all Republicans are conservatives, almost all Democrats are liberals, and they're going to find less common ground to work on.
In terms of the infrastructure, the political infrastructure of Congress, has anything changed substantially, where now if you're elected as a Republican or a Democrat, you better forget about speaking your mind and you better get in line? Or is it as it always has been?
I think there's still some flexibility for elected people to speak their mind, but whether they can vote against the party's leadership is a different story, because today's elected officials are getting more power from the national party and less sort of responsiveness from their local constituencies, because they're thinking about national media more and about local media less as local media declines. And so generally the path to power is through national media or through making the national party happy. And that generally means you're not breaking with that party on their major votes.
So when it comes down to even local elections, if you're a congressman, the ticket is to get on MSNBC or Fox News, depending on where your constituents are?
I think so. It helps connect you with donors, and it helps, you know, make the party leadership happy. That can get you onto good committees, and that can get you into the right situations. I think there's exceptions to that, and I think that different districts have different, you know, abilities for people to appeal to maybe more moderate constituencies, more conservative ones. But in general, yeah, the national media is where you want to be.
Wow. Why have the parties become more liberal and more conservative and moved more toward the edges and away from the center?
So part of it's just that they became more of the same thing. And, you know, the Republicans, conservatives became Republicans and liberals became Democrats. There used to be a lot of bipartisanship, for example, on the issue of stopping civil rights legislation, where you had Southern Democrats that were conservative that would stop it, and you had conservative Republicans that would stop it. We had liberal Republicans from the North that were trying to advocate for it, for civil rights legislation. And so, you know, there were plenty of bipartisan stoppages of that, and I don't feel particularly nostalgic for any of that. So it's a matter of sort of ideological consistency within the parties, and that's built up, I think, largely because of media side stuff, where they've been telling people nationally, this is what a Republican is, this is what a Democrat is. It's the same taste nationwide, right? Same branding, less local variation, but also just, you know, the issues changed, and so the ideological positions changed with it.
A pleasure, Joshua. I hope we get to talk to you again. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Joshua Dar, Assistant Professor of Political Communication at LSU. When we come back, we're going to talk to Greg Upton, Assistant Research Professor.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.